This message comes from NPR sponsor Progressive, and it's Name Your Price tool. Say how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show coverage options within your budget. Visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
From NPR and WNYC, coming to you from the Bell House in beautiful Brooklyn, New York, it's NPR's Hour of Puzzles, Word Games, and Trivia, Ask Me Another. I'm Julian Villard. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Hello, everybody. Love it. Welcome to Ask Me Another. So how many people here by applause are here for the first time at a taping of Ask Me Another? A bunch of you? Yeah, great. Great. Fantastic. So let me tell you how it's going to work. So right now, we have four brilliant contestants waiting backstage comparing their Fitbit tan lines. And they're going to be out here playing our nerdy games shortly. And then one of them will be our big winner. And our special guest, you know her from Arrested Development. You know her from Archer. You know her from GIFs on Twitter. Jessica Walter is going to be here tonight. Yeah. So excited. I think she plays my favorite female archetype, right? The older woman, impeccably dressed, walking around with a cocktail, delivering biting punchlines, right? That is something for me to aspire to. That's how I look at it. I like to think of myself as the Lucille Bluth of NPR, just so you know. I do. I wander around the office with a Morning Edition mug half full of vodka, yelling at everybody, David Green! Bring me some oat milk for my drink. If you don't know, oat milk and vodka is the public radio take on the White Russian. We call it the Mueller investigation. Because it lasts so long. I think about the term Arrested Development a lot. I'm in Arrested Development. Julian, Arrested Development?
Yeah, I'm a musician. Of course.
Yeah, right.
No, yeah, I'm a grown-up, I'm a kid, but yeah, it's a mess, the whole thing.
Right,
it was a mistake. It's
right, how old is your kid?
I don't know.
You don't know, yeah. Always on the road, who knows, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
There are some forms of Arrested Development that's totally fine. And then there are some forms that are problematic. So this is how it breaks down in my mind. If you're in your 40s and obsessed with Star Wars, that's fine. If you're in your 40s and spent your whole day in a Wikipedia edit war over Star Wars, yeah, that makes you my husband. All right, let's play some games, everybody. Let's play some games. Your first game is about scathing Amazon reviews of kids' books. Yeah, that's right. It turns out there's a staggering number of literary critics coming out of Montessori these days. So let's meet our contestants. First up, Diana Corrigan, you are a patent attorney. Hello.
Hi, Ophira.
When you ring in, we'll hear this. Your opponent is Mark Kadushin. You just started a new job as a blood donor coordinator. Hello.
Hi.
So when you ring in, we'll hear this. Very good. Diane and Mark, the first of you who wins two of our games will go on to our final round. And your first game is about bad reviews of children's books. I mean, how joyless do you have to be to give a kid's book a bad review? So mean. Too many plot holes. Cats don't even like hats. I don't know. We're going to read you a real one-star Amazon review of a classic children's book. You just ring in and tell us the name of the book. All right, here we go.
If you wrote a children's book, what would you rhyme with moon? Well, if you said moon, you too could be a best-selling children's book author. Mark.
Good night, moon.
That is correct.
Yeah. There's a quiet old lady whispering hush in the book and never say what the relationship is.
That's just weird.
It is confusing, it is silly, it is weird. This is because it's about a lunatic little kid who can talk to a flower on his planet. Diana.
The Little Prince.
That is correct.
I read this book with my class, and it sucked. First, Milo goes through a toll booth that he just found in his room one day. If you simply find something in your room, you call the police. You don't decide to get into a toy car and drive through it. Diana.
The Phantom Toll Booth?
Correct. Frog is often a terrible friend to Toad. There's this story about Toad being embarrassed by his swimsuit. And what does Frog do? He laughs at him with all the other animals. Mark.
Mr. Toad's Wild Ride?
That is not correct. Diana, do you want to steal?
Frog and Toad?
I think we can accept that answer. Yeah. Yes, you are correct. Frog and Toad are friends.
Yeah. All right. Here is your last clue. Don't buy. This book describes an abusive relationship where the boy takes everything and only shows up when he is needing to take some more. In the end, the tree has nothing else left to give and is left as a stump for the boy to sit on. Diana.
The Giving Tree.
That is correct. That is a very sad book by Shel Silverstein.
I have to say, I agree with this review.
Yeah.
I think a lot of these people are a little maybe outlandish, but this is an accurate description of that book.
Do you know The Missing Piece? Do you know that Shel Silverstein book?
No.
It's very cute, but The Missing Piece is a circle that looks exactly like the Zoloft character. It does, and I was just wondering if maybe the missing piece for all of us is a selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor. Okay, you guys did great on that quiz. Diana, you won that round, and you're one step closer to our final round. Attention all dads. Take a break from being emotionally unavailable, because our next game is about concept albums. Diana, I hear you have a foam finger collection.
Yeah, I've gotten one from every Major League Baseball stadium that I've gone to.
Okay, so how many in your collection currently?
15.
That's pretty good.
Thank you.
What is the variation in the foam finger?
Sometimes they put the mascot on, although the coolest one is from Wrigley Field. Instead of like the foam finger that looks like the We're Number One,
yeah,
it's a bear claw.
Nice!
So it's fun to chase my kids with.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, Mark, you also play saxophone.
Yes.
And your friends once dared you to play Careless Whisper, the classic saxophone solo, while wandering around campus.
So it was Halloween. It was right when that sexy saxman video was very popular. And it was last minute they were going out, and I needed a costume. So to have a saxophone, I can do that. Memorized the lick, and we're going out. And flash forward, it's 3 hours later, and I haven't actually stopped playing because at this point my lower teeth are so deep into my lips and the reed that it would hurt more to extricate them than to stop. So that was a fun night.
There is something so beautiful about the way you told that story. So this is a guessing game called Quite a Concept. A concept album, of course, is a collection of songs that are unified by some sort of theme or overarching story. I'll describe an album. You tell me if it's real or something we made up. But be careful, because if you guess incorrectly, your opponent automatically scores the point. Diana, you won the last game, so you win this, and you go to the final round. Mark, you need to win this, or we're going to give you a gift certificate to Sam Goody. Here we go. This modern classic by Janelle Monáe tells the story of a heroic android who travels back in time to save a city from an evil society that has harnessed the power of time travel to oppress its citizens. Is that real or fake? Diana.
Real?
Yeah, that's real. For sure. Yeah. Let's hear a little bit of The Arch Android. Zombie, 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 where do dreams come from? A little bird gets her friend and she's singing a song. She's shaking them and waking them and giving them us. As the clock tick-tocked and the bodies drop, I'm gonna live a subscribe. Feels like just running to find a charger.
Yeah. Yeah.
In 1999, the Spice Girls cooked up a concept album where they each took on the persona of a British condiment, including Marmite, salad cream, HP sauce, malt vinegar, and baby spice. Real or fake? Mark.
I'm going to say fake.
Yeah, that's fake. Salad cream, come on. No, that's real. Kate Bush's 2011 album is all about snow. One song includes 50 words for snow, another is told from the perspective of a falling snowflake. Real or fake? Mark.
Real?
Yeah, that's real. 50 words for snow. Let's listen to a little bit of 50 words for snow.
Vanilla swarm. Icy skid ski.
Allegedly a pirate radio broadcast, this 1960s rock record by The Who features fake public service announcements and commercials for items like baked beans and deodorant. Real or fake? Diana.
Real?
It is real. Yeah. Let's hear it. This is Coke After Coke. Coke after Coke after Coca-Cola. Mm-hmm. The album's called The Who Sells Out.
It's good. I like it.
This is your last clue. A 1975 concept album by Alice Cooper takes listeners on a hard rock journey through the nightmares of a boy named Steven and includes narration by Vincent Price. Real or fake? Diana.
Real?
Yeah, it's real. So many real things. It's called Welcome to My Nightmare. This is The Black Widow. Let's listen.
The horror that he'll bring. The horror of his sting. The unholiest of kings. The Black Widow.
Sounds awesome. Yeah. All right. Great game, both of you. Well done. Diana, you won that game as well, so you are moving on to our final round. Coming up, we'll find out who will face off against Diana in our final round, and we'll talk to actor Jessica Walter. She was born in Brooklyn. Yeah. Right above what is now a bespoke vape shop. And fingers crossed, if she's anything like the character she plays on television, she'll be hilariously disappointed in me. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR.
I'm Miles Parks. I cover voting and election security for NPR. Across the NPR network, we report rigorously on the forces seeking to disrupt democracy and provide communities with reliable information. It's Public Media Giving Days. The perfect time to stand with the facts by donating now at donate.npr.org. Thank you.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Carvana. With thousands of options under $20,000, plus customizable financing terms and down payments as low as $0 down, it's easy to find a car that fits your lifestyle. Visit Carvana.com or download the app today. Terms and conditions may apply.
There are a lot of issues on voters' minds right now. Six big ones could help decide the election. Guns, reproductive rights, immigration, the economy, healthcare, and the wars overseas. On the Consider This podcast from NPR, we will unpack the debates on these issues and what's at stake. You can listen to NPR's Consider This wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Ask Me Another, NPR's hour of puzzles, word games, and trivia. I'm Julian Villard. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thank you, Julian. It's time to welcome our special guest. You know her as Lucille Bluth from Arrested Development and the voice of Mallory Archer on the animated series Archer. Please welcome Jessica Walter. Jessica, just a couple fans.
So nice. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So I said at the very beginning of the show that you were born in Brooklyn.
I was born in Brooklyn. We only lived here for a year.
Okay.
On Avenue M. Hey! And and then I left home at about 18, and I went to Manhattan.
Yeah.
And lived... That was big. That was big.
Yeah.
I'm an Upper West Sider. I live there now.
Sure, sure. So, Jessica, you have an incredible career. We know you from so many films and theater and television for 50 years. I mean, we're talking so
more than 50, dear. I'm sorry to tell you.
Okay. Working television for more than 50 years.
Yeah.
And
believe
just thinking, like, right, Love Boat, 90210.
Love Boat, oh, my God.
Yeah, Love Boat.
You know, I have to tell you, the Love Boat, actually, once a year, they would go on a real cruise. The rest of the time, it was on the soundstage. And I got the real cruise one year. I did several of them, Love Boats, but it was a two-hour, because the real cruises, you know, they weren't going to waste their money on 1 hour. So we went to Australia and the Fiji Islands.
What?
I took my daughter with me. It was the best.
And you're also filming?
Filming and getting paid for this experience. I'm telling you. The perks.
That's amazing. Hawaii 5-0?
Hawaii 5-0. I was in the original one.
Yeah.
I did a crossover from Murder, She Wrote to I was in all those shows,
yeah.
People. But they did a crossover with Angela Lansbury, Murder, She Wrote, went to solve a crime with Tom Selleck. So it was a two-hour. And I was actually the killer.
Yeah! The killer.
Now, on that show, I've also been the killee. I did about 9 of those shows.
So you've had this very prolific and long career, and we're going to get to, obviously, the role that you got when you were 62 years old on Arrested Development. Was there ever a time in your acting career as you were getting older as a woman where you panicked and thought, this is it, I'm not going to work?
You know, I didn't panic about it, but there was a period, I would say, between when I was about maybe, it was only a 13-month period, I counted.
Nice.
From about 60 to 62 when I got that role.
Yeah.
That I thought, things are not looking good.
Yeah.
And then, there came that wonderful role.
So, and I read that you were very proactive in getting the role on Arrested Development.
In what way do you mean?
That you took a plane to...
Well, actually, what happened was I was actually offered another pilot that year.
Okay.
The mom, you know. And I said to my agent, I said, and even though I was like, you know, looking for something good, I said, I just can't do this. Even though it was an offer, I said, I know there's something better out there for me. And
really?
Then that script came along, Arrested Development. Yeah. I auditioned on tape. In
okay.
New York.
Yeah.
And they liked it, so they flew me out like the next day.
Okay.
To meet the suits, we used to call them. The executives of the suits. And I auditioned for them on the same day Tony Hale auditioned. We were all outside. Will Arnett, we were all outside waiting to audition. And we auditioned with Jason. He had already been cast. And I think Portia had been cast.
Mm-hmm.
So they wanted to see chemistry, and all three of us got the part.
Right there on the spot?
All three of us that had flown on the same plane to hope that we got these roles.
Yeah. And so they hire you right there, and then when do you start
they
shooting?
Actually, they did, because I said, okay, well, I'm going back to New York.
Yeah.
Oh, no. They said, no, we're going to rehearse. I said, I didn't bring all my pills. I brought medication for like 2 days. You know, but it all worked out.
And then you do a role, you voice Mallory Archer.
Mallory.
On Archer.
That's great fun. That's a great bunch of people.
Yeah, and that, you know, Lucille Bluth and Mallory Archer have a lot in common.
They do. They have a lot in common, except their hair.
Yeah, right.
You know, Mallory has gray hair. And Lucille would never. You know, I realize that I know this venue from... We did the first Archer Live we did here. Yeah. Oh, so long ago.
Yeah.
Like 10 years ago, yeah.
And when you are doing the voiceover for Archer, you said you did the live show here, so obviously you're all together and that's an experience.
That was all, we're not together when we do the recording. Yeah, we do it alone separately.
Yeah, so, I mean, how do you create the warmth?
It's amazing, the chemistry of that cast, and we never record together, ever. We only see each other like twice a year.
Sure.
You know, I don't know, the chemistry just worked with that voice cast.
Yeah, well, I mean, you see one person more often than that in the cast.
Oh, you mean of the prior cast?
Yes, of the prior cast.
Yes, yes, well, it just so happens. No, my husband, who's here tonight, he played Ron Cadillac. Yay! Ron Liebman, yes. He and then they decided that Mallory should not be married. So, you know, every year the story was different.
Right.
We've got a great story coming up this year.
Oh, yeah?
I'm not allowed to really say what it is.
Okay.
But it's great.
Okay. Now, working with your husband on Archer, that's not the first time that you've worked with him. Rumors.
Yeah. We did Rumors on Broadway, a Neil Simon play. We've done... Oh, somebody out there saw it. Oh, my God. We've done lots of TV together.
Yeah.
He's so brilliant. I've learned more about acting from him than anybody in the world. We've worked together a lot.
Working together, do you guys take it home at the end of the day? Or are you the kind of people that the curtain goes down and you're like...
Once in a while, took it home.
Okay.
I remember saying to Ron once, by the way, Ron won the Tony when he played Roy Cohn in the original Angels in America. But I remember we were doing a play once, and I said to him, I said, is there nothing you won't do to get a laugh? We take it home sometimes, yeah. Oh, my goodness.
All right, Jessica.
Yes?
Are you ready for your Ask Me Another challenge?
I am. I'm ready.
All right. Fantastic. Jessica Walter, we know that you are a huge fan of television from the 1960s and 70s.
Well, let's say I know the shows.
Oh, you know the shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you absolutely.
What's your favorite?
I was
you
in a lot of them.
You were?
Yeah. Mission Impossible.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I did one of those.
That sounds fun. Action's fun, right?
You know, what else did I like from... Oh, my God. Oh, Columbo.
Yes.
I did one of those, too. We sit there and we watch the old Columbos. They're so wonderful.
I watch them all the time, Jessica.
Do you?
It's my comfort show.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I love them. Yeah.
Columbo. God, there were so many good shows. I was on, actually, a show that didn't really do well. Our show is called Amy Prentice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows that one.
No one knows that. But they will all look it up now.
Yeah. Okay. It was good for me, though. I got an Emmy. You know, good things come from, things that don't work.
So it just happens that our keyboard player, Julian Villard, he has memorized a bunch of television theme songs. Right, Julian?
That's right. It's a pet project of mine. I keep a spreadsheet of all the TV themes I know.
So this is what we're going to do. Julian's going to play a theme song. You just have to name the show.
Oh, my God. I hope I do well.
You're going to do great. And if you do well enough, listener Mitch Burke from Indianapolis, Indiana, is going to win an Ask Me Another Rubik's Cube.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. No pressure.
No pressure. Right. Okay, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. Here's your first theme.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller plays.
Oh, well, all the family. Everybody knows that one.
Everybody knows that one. What's next, Julian?
Well, we're moving on up to the east side.
Because it was called Moving On? No, it was...
In the sky.
You can listen to more of the song.
Moving on up.
The Jeffersons?
Correct.
Yeah.
Oh, my God! So far,
yeah, you're doing
okay.
Great.
He's getting that cube. He's all right.
He's getting that cube.
Now what's happening? Next one.
Oh, next one. Oh. All right. All right, this one's tough.
I like this one, my favorite.
Who needs wings to fly? Certainly not I. I prefer to take up on the breeze, follow any swallow that will please my fancy.
Sally Field?
Gidget? No.
She plays a...
Fly Nun!
Yes!
Fly Nun! Oh, but you helped me.
All right, this is your last clue. Oh, go for it, God. Julian.
Welcome back.
Welcome back, Cotter.
Yeah. I started to hear some rhythmic clapping. Let's hear it. I want to hear it.
Your dreams were your ticket out. Welcome back to that same old place that you laughed about. Well, the names have all changed since you've come around, but the years have remained and they've turned around. Ooh, I was wrong. Who'd have thought they'd lead you back here where we need ya. Yeah, we tease them a lot, cause we got them on the spot. Welcome back. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back.
I didn't quite expect that. All right, congratulations, Jessica Walter.
Thank you.
You and Mitch Burke won Ashley of the Rubik's Cube. Give it up for Jessica Walter, everybody. Want our next special guest to play for you? Follow Ask Me Another on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Our next two contestants will play a game called Double Feature. Hot tip, any feature can be a double feature if you add enough tequila. Let's meet them. First up, Brianna Leary. You work in philanthropy. Welcome. Hi.
Hi.
When you ring in, we'll hear this. Brianna, you were part of a big two-day event at a new hospital where donors and staff could tour and interact with the whole fleet of hospital robots.
This is true.
Robots in the hospital?
Yes.
Are they operating?
They're bringing food and linens to patients and just telling everyone to have a good day.
Really? They're happy robots?
They're so happy.
For now. Let's admit, for now.
We'll see.
We all know how this goes. Your opponent is Christina Sepulveda. You just started a new job in political campaign operations. Hello.
Hello.
When you ring in, we'll hear this. Very good. Christina, you just started this new job.
Yes.
What day are we in of your job?
Day one, week three.
All right, so did you decide to work in politics right now for the fun?
No, actually my master's degree is in predicting races and who's going to win and who's not. Mm. Let's just say I haven't been right yet.
Well, you and Nate Silver.
We're drinking afterwards.
You're drinking, you and Nate. Yeah, interesting. All right, remember, Brianna and Christina, the first of you who wins two games will move on to our final round. So let's go to your first game. This is a word game called Double Feature. We are going to imagine what would happen if two movies combined plot lines and titles.
For example, if we said, in this comedy fantasy, Wallace Shawn says, it's inconceivable that Kristen Wiig would be a maid of honor, you'd answer, the Princess Bridesmaids. Combining the Princess Bride and Bridesmaids.
It's going to be great. Here's your first one. Ben Affleck plays a man accused of murdering his wife, played by Tiffany Haddish, but it turns out she was just vacationing with her friends in New Orleans. Brianna.
I know the second movie for sure.
Okay.
Is Girls Trip.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Gone Girls Trip?
Yes, it is.
This adaptation of a Rodgers and Hammerstein musical tells the story of a disgraced Olympic figure skater.
Brianna.
The Sega movie is just called Tanya, right?
Almost.
Oh,
almost.
God.
But not quite. Do you want to finish anything, or do you want to let her steal?
No, she can steal.
All right. Christina.
King and I, Tanya.
There you go. The Bates Motel offers a warm shower to escaped convicts played by George Clooney and John Turturro. Christina.
Psycho, Oh, Where Art Thou?
So, I'm going to give you a second to rethink that. There's a key word missing.
Psycho, where, don't! Nope.
Okay, okay. Brianna, can you steal?
I really hope this is right now. Psycho, Brother, We're Out There?
Yes!
Now we're even.
Yep, that was good.
In this modern horror tale, Daniel Kaluuya discovers a terrible secret about the way his Baroness girlfriend, played by Meryl Streep, eats Fruit Loops.
What?
Okay, here's a hint. The first movie was written and directed by my junior high school best friend, Jordan Peele. And the second movie is from 1985 and also stars Robert Redford. Christina.
Get Out of Africa.
Correct.
Interesting way to give a hint. This is your last clue. Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones join Chadwick Boseman and Michael B. Jordan to fight aliens in Wakanda. Christina.
Men in Black Panther.
Yeah, that's correct. Super hard game. You both did amazing. Christina, you won that game, and you're one step closer to the final round. Want to mash up your dreams and your goals? Be a contestant on Ask Me Another and realize neither. Go to amatickets.org. Coming up, we have a game about Nobel Prize winners. Did you know that the prize is about $1 million? That's it. Yeah, that's the same amount you get if you win Survivor, okay? I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and this is Ask Me Another from NPR.
Why is everyone so obsessed with traditional wives or trad wives on social media? This week, we're talking about the viral videos of women making marshmallows and mozzarella from scratch, and how behind the sheen of calm kitchens and cute fits, there's some interesting pessimism about our modern world, and that's worth digging into. Next time on It's Been a Minute from NPR. On It's Been a Minute, we're keeping you in the know when it comes to culture. I break down the latest trends and the forces behind them, and introduce you to the creatives who think deeply about how we live today. Come for some good old cultural analysis and have a few laughs with me. Listen to the It's Been a Minute podcast from NPR.
In this country, more than two local newspapers are closing down each week. As news deserts grow, public radio is a lifeline for staying informed. Keep that service strong with a donation to the NPR network at donate.npr.org. And thank you.
This is NPR's Ask Me Another. I'm Julian Villard. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thank you, Julian. Before the break, we met our contestants, Brianna and Christina. Soon they'll play a game about Nobel Prize recipients. It's like I always say, Stockholm is where the heart is. Let's check in with them. Brianna, you taught yourself how to walk on stilts and ride a unicycle?
I did.
Which is great. Which is great. But the question is, why?
Why?
Yeah, why?
I don't know why. When I was a kid, I went through this circus phase. And so for Christmas, I asked for stilts and a unicycle. Santa delivered, and so I taught myself to do it.
Is it something like you could do now? Like you'll always sort of retain?
Yeah. Actually, recently in Prospect Park, they have a little area where kids can walk on these stilts.
Uh-huh.
And so I was the one not kid that walked on the stilts.
You were the one adult that was like, I just need to show off right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All the kids were like, wow.
I had a friend in junior high school who used to unicycle. Not Jordan Peele.
Not Jordan Peele, a different friend?
Different friend.
Christina, you like to hunt for food trucks, especially taco trucks, which is great. I love the food truck scene too. Now, with the taco trucks, let's just discuss this. How much variation is there in how good a taco is from a taco truck?
Massive.
Okay, don't give me the eyebrows.
I mean, I'm going to, though. I mean...
All right, what makes a brilliant taco for you?
The meat can't be dried out. Mm-hmm. Condiment selection, are they fresh? Have they been turned over?
Mm-hmm.
Tortilla, stale or not?
Okay, so far we're just talking about health standards.
You're like, if there's a rat tail, definitely not in the top 10.
So your next game is a music parody game called Nobel Winner Takes It All. How does it work, Julian?
In honor of famous Swede Alfred Nobel, we rewrote the Swedish band ABBA's hit songs to be about Nobel Prize laureates. And we are counting economics as a Nobel Prize. If you don't like that, please send your complaints to planetmoney@npr.org. Ring in to identify the laureate I'm singing about. And if you get that right, for a bonus, you can identify the original ABBA song title.
Christina, you won the last game, so you win this, and you're in the final round. Brianna, you need to win this, or speaking of Sweden, you'll be locked in an IKEA for a week with nothing to help you escape but one of their Allen keys. Okay, here we go.
Radioactivity with Pierre on a research team. Chemistry. Physics to a Nobel machine, oh yeah. Radium, polonium can decrease the time of your life. Ooh, PhD, French degree, killer family genes.
Christina.
Marie Curie.
That is correct, yes. Physics in 1903 and chemistry in 1911. By the way, she shared the physics prize with her husband. Their daughter and son-in-law shared the Nobel Prize in chemistry for their new discovery of radioactive elements. They're the family with the most Nobel Prizes of anyone. There is one other younger sister who took improv classes.
For a bonus, can you name the original song?
Dancing Queen.
Correct. Controversial recent laureate, baby boomers could not resist ya. Does a lyric count as poetry? He broke 100-year Nobel law. Critics don't get too effusive. Ooh, when he's not acoustic, he was a ceremony, no show.
Christina.
Bob Dylan.
Yeah, that's right. Literature in 2016.
For an extra point, can you guess the song?
Mamma Mia.
Yeah. He writes all night, he writes all day. John Maynard Keynes is his bae. It ain't sad. He writes things for the New York Times, and still the banks commit more crimes. Free trade's not bad. In his books, he has a plan for reigning in the wealthy man before awaits financial fall, the conscience of the liberal.
Christina.
Warren Buffett.
I'm sorry, that is not who we are looking for. Thank you for ringing in.
Fair.
Brianna. Can you steal?
Ben Bernanke?
Another interesting idea.
I have no idea.
We're looking for Paul Krugman.
And the original ABBA tune is Money, Money, Money. Here comes the next one. Climate change is honestly a bummer, an inconvenient truth. Like Florida's polling booth. Environmentalist VP 2.
Christina.
Al Gore.
That is correct, yes. Nobel Prize in Peace, the Peace Prize in 2007.
And for a bonus point, can you guess the song?
Not at all.
Super Trooper. There was something in the books he'd write, didn't keep it light, the Gabito. He was the patron of Colombia, times of cholera, Gabito. The magical and the real metaphors of steel. And 100 years of solitude, it's not for prudes, Gabito.
Christina.
Garcia Marquez.
That is correct. Yes. Gabriel Garcia Marquez. That's right. Prize for Literature in 1982. 100 Years of Solitude sounds pretty good right about now.
Yeah. Okay, and do you know the song?
Fernando.
Yeah.
Nice. I know, it's hard not to sing.
It's the only way I get the titles.
Sing it along.
This is your last clue.
My, Calcutta, the poverty did offend her. Oh, yeah. And she served as missionary in controversial ways. But even now with those complaints, can't say this woman's not a saint.
Christina.
Mother Teresa.
That is correct. Yes. The Nobel Peace Prize in 1979.
For an extra point, can you guess a song?
Waterloo.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. Brianna, you were awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Christina, you won both games, and you are moving on to our final round. While Christina and Diana get ready for the final round, it's time for our guest musician, Julian Villar, to play a game. Now, Julian is quite competitive.
Very.
So today we are pitting him against our entire audience here at the Bell House in a science game called The Order of the Universe. So before the show, we quizzed our live audience about outer space. Julian, I'll ask you the same questions, and if you can beat the audience's median score, you'll win the game. Here we go. Here's your first question. Which is bigger, as measured by its radius, the Earth's moon or Pluto?
Pluto is not a planet.
Okay, sure.
Just laying that out
there.
Uh-huh,
okay. Yeah. Does that mean you're going to pick the Earth's moon?
I'm going to say the Earth's moon.
Well, guess what? You're correct, okay? Yeah. 63% of the audience answered correctly. Okay, so which is faster, the rotational velocity of Earth, which is how fast the Earth is spinning, or the speed of sound? Now, I just want to say we are measuring the Earth's rotational velocity at the equator and the speed of sound through dry air at sea level. Not your high up wet air, no. Dry air. At sea level. Okay, so what's faster?
I already got this figured out, Ophir.
Okay,
I know
me.
The answer here. So
fine.
Speed of sound's what? Like, I don't know, 900 miles an hour?
You're the musician.
That's right. So simple, I would say the Earth moves faster than the speed of sound.
Okay, well, guess what? Your measurements weren't bad. The Earth's rotational velocity is 1,000 miles per hour. The speed of sound at sea level in dry air is about 760 miles per hour. It's the rotational velocity of the Earth. Yeah, that's right. And guess what? You did extra great because only 41% of the audience got that one. Which is closer to being shaped like a perfect sphere, the sun or the Earth?
Again, very simple, Ophir. Earth is flat.
That's correct.
Answer is the sun.
Correct again. And your final question, wouldn't that be great if I just left it at that? People are like, but this is NPR! By the way, 66% of the audience got that correct. The sun is very close to being shaped like a perfect sphere. The Earth and the sun both have equatorial bulges, however. They are like cosmic love handles. According to a 2012 article in Science magazine, the sun is about 12 kilometers with the bulges, and the Earth's is about 43 kilometers. I feel like the Earth needs to go on the whole 30. So guess what? Julian Villard, you did it.
So I got every question right.
You
right?
got every question right.
And the audience did not, correct?
The audience did not get every question right.
So that
right.
would make me the winner of this game. Sorry, want... I'm very competitive. I'm just sorry. Maybe it's a little aggressive. I apologize.
No, it's okay. It's like you're mansplaining, you're winning. It's
That's
kind
right.
of fun. I like it. Julian Villard, fantastic. Give it up for Julian Villard and give it up for science. It's time to crown our big winner. Let's bring back our finalists. Christina Sepulveda has a master's degree in predicting election outcomes, but she hasn't been right yet. And Diana Corrigan, who owns 15 foam fingers. Christina, Diana, your final round is called The Time Has Come. Every answer contains a term associated with time or timekeeping. Our big winner will receive an Ask Me Another Rubik's Cube signed by Jessica Walter. We rolled a 20-sided die backstage, and Christina is going first. Here we go. Christina, this Star Wars vehicle was piloted at various times by Lando Calrissian, Han Solo, and Rey.
The Millennium Falcon.
That is correct. Diana, this company was the first to sell orange juice concentrate, and its name is on the Houston Astros home stadium.
Tropicana?
I'm sorry, that is incorrect. We were looking for Minute Maid, minute being the time. Christina, after Kelly Clarkson won American Idol, this debut single topped the Billboard Hot 100. 3 seconds.
I don't have an answer.
Okay. It's okay. A moment like this.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. I know. Diana, in the musical Rent, this song contains the lyric 525,600 minutes.
Seasons of Love?
That is correct. Christina, this college study abroad program is known as SAS for short.
Semester at Sea.
That is correct. Diana, John Oliver hosts this satirical news program on HBO. 3 seconds.
Oh, I can't think of it.
Last Week Tonight. Christina, this international athletic competition is named for the Greek term indicated a period of 4 years.
Olympics.
That's correct. Olympiad, and we'll also accept Olympics. Diana, young people are filming themselves doing the dances featured in this popular Battle Royale online video game.
Fortnite?
That is correct. Feels pretty good, right? Yeah, you pulled out of nowhere. I felt you pulling it. I was also going to be okay if you didn't know that.
I would have been too.
Christina is in the lead 3-2. Christina, Charlize Theron starred in an action film adaptation of this early 1990s MTV animated series.
Aeon Flux?
That is correct. Diana, this... It's funny how we reward certain bits of information. Diana, this chain of car maintenance shops is headquartered in Houston, Texas, and has more than 2,000 oil change locations across the country.
Jiffy Lube?
That is correct. Christina, founded in the early 1970s, this real estate company is famous for the gold blazers its agents used to wear.
I don't comprehend that question, and I won't answer it.
You refuse?
Sorry, I've made a Jessica Walter reference.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I hear. Okay, we were looking for Century 21.
Oh.
Diana, Jared Leto and his brother formed this rock band in 1998.
30 Seconds to Mars.
That is correct. Christina, Fred Savage starred in this television series about growing up in the 1960s.
Wonder Years.
That is correct. Diana, Meryl Streep, Julianna Moore, and Nicole Kidman star in this 2002 film as three women connected by the novel Mrs. Dalloway.
The Hours?
Correct. Okay, the score is tied, and we have one last question for each of you. Christina, McDonald's named this burger after the weight of pre-cooked beef used in its patty.
The quarter pounder.
That is correct. Diana, December 26th in the UK, Canada, and other British Commonwealth countries is recognized as this holiday.
Boxing Day?
That is correct. Okay, it seems we have a tie. So you're going to grab, please grab your buzzers, and you're going to ring in. I'm going to say the question, you're going to ring in, and we'll see how it goes. Here is your tiebreaker. This punctuation mark is also known as a full stop. Diana.
Period.
That is correct. Christina, thank you so much. And congratulations, Diana. That's our show. Our guest musician is Julian Villard.
Hey, my name anagrams to Naive Duljar.
Our puzzles were written by Andrew Kane, Madeline Kaplan, Mike Nothnagel, Mary Tobler, and senior writer Eric Feinstein, with additional material by Karen Lurie and Emily Winter. Our acting senior supervising producer is Rachel Neal. Ask Me Another is produced by Sylvie Douglas, Mike Katzeff, Travis Larchuk, Kiara Powell, Denny Shin, Ramel Wood, and our intern, Georgia Wright, along with Steve Nelson and Anya Grunman. We are recorded by Damon Whittemore, Frank Bianco, and Jeff O'Neill. We'd like to thank our home in Brooklyn, New York, the Bell House,
Hot Heel Blues,
and our live event sponsor, Curiosity Stream, and our production partner, WNYC. I'm Harriet Begonias.
Ophira Eisenberg.
And this was Ask Me Another from NPR. Hey, happy to hear you're still listening. And since you're still here, why not pop over to Apple Podcasts and write us a review? We love to hear from you, and it helps others find out about our show. For additional information about new episodes, upcoming live shows, road shows, and bonus games, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Thanks. Next time on Ask Me Another, magician Derek Delgadio from the off-Broadway show In and of Itself talks about how he got into magic.
Guy showed me a trick, and the one thing he did at the end was he made a pocket knife vanish. I said I wanted to do that. And he said, oh, well, that's not for sale. You got to learn that from a book. I was like, ugh.
Join me, Ophira Eisenberg, on NPR's Hour of Puzzles, Word Games, and Trivia.
Support for NPR and the following message come from NYU Stern. What makes a good leader great? It's your own ambition coupled with the support you need to take that next great leap. With NYU Stern's executive MBA program in Washington, D.C., that's what you get. A robust curriculum balanced with convenience. Classes held one Friday, Saturday, Sunday a month in downtown D.C. Be open to excellence. Search NYU Stern EMBA in D.C. for more information.
Listen to Embedded for moments that stay with you.
I could smell the smoke. I could smell the dust.
Voices that resonate. Stories that change the way you think about your life.
How did we get here?
The Embedded podcast is NPR's home for original documentary series. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. These days, news comes at you fast. But the truth? Getting there takes time.
There's something that hasn't been disclosed yet.
Embedded is a podcast that takes the time to look beyond the headlines.
How did this happen? How did we get here?
With original documentary storytelling. Listen to NPR's Embedded wherever you get your podcasts.